Kate Newton is the grants manager for the Old People's Trust. Now, I'm going to ask you, Kate, what that means. What is the grants manager? And will that lead us into understanding what the Old People's Trust is?
I have a super job in that I go out and I try and find people who need some support from the trust. And then I help them achieve the grant and then go out and buy the services or the goods that they've asked us for. And it's all free.
Right, so let's go back to the beginning. Old People's Trust.
It's actually a charity that was started in 2000. And I expect many of your listeners would know that Glen Armand on King Harry Lane, it was a residential home and the charity used to own that. And then they sold that up and put the money into a big fund. So what they try and do is help all the old people in the district. It's called St Albans Old People's Trust, but it's actually district-wide. So that deals with the St Albans part of it. The old 60 or above. So we're seeing more younger clients, which is great. Just have to be 60 or above. They do have to live in the district. It's a trust, which means it's a grant giving trust. So we give away services, money, vouchers, everything.
So the funds have come from the sale of a large house.
It was on King Harry Lane. It's now a nursery called Busy Bees. And its history is it used to be owned by one of the directors of the White Star Line. In the war, it was, I think, MI something was there as well.
It was MI6, because there's a story about Kim Philby popping from there to the King Harry for
a drink.
And being very indiscreet in the King Harry.
So the trust used to have that building as a residential home. Mm. They sold that. And then also a lady in Park Street died and gave them their house. And they've also been bequested a house, all of which have been sold.
So therefore the trust has a sum of money,
yes.
And with that money you help.
With the interest from that money,
yeah. You help whoever is in need that comes forward to you.
So our mission is all about helping people in need, hardship and distress. The positive side of that is it gives us a really wide remit. So, for example, some charities can only help people if they are in very poor circumstances. This trust, you could own your own home. You could have savings of £10,000, which you might be saving for, you know, a funeral or a rainy day or something. And the trust would still help. The majority of people who apply to us will be on maybe some benefits, but they don't have to be.
What sort of things are you offering people?
Well, our services are very wide ranging. The most basic would be just people phoning up saying their cooker's broken down or their any other white goods or fridge freezers or they need a new bed, something like that. But if it's kind of kitchen things, we will take details from them and we'll get approval from our trustees. And then we will usually within the week be able to buy them a fridge freezer. And we use a lovely local company called Kitchen Zone, who used to be on Hatfield Road and are now at the end of London Road. And they're really lovely people and they're very friendly and very good with the clients when they pop in.
But you have to assess each claim, if that's the right word.
We do. So people can phone us up or they can go on our website and fill in the form. Often they phone us up and we just have to take a number of details. We have to ask their age to make sure that they're 6 years over. We have to ask where they live to make sure they live in the district. And then there are a few questions really about their circumstance. So in some cases, do they live in one of the council homes or housing association, or is it their own home or do they rent? Because there are some things that actually the council is meant to pay for. And sometimes we intervene because we are based within the council building, although we're an independent charity, and we can sometimes intervene and kind of nudge the council along to ask if they could do a repair, for example, if that's what the person's come to us about. We would also ask about people's income because it might seem awkward, but actually we just have to make sure that our money isn't going to millionaires. And the standard person that we would give a grant to would probably have an income of around £200 a week or less, as a couple, maybe £400 or less, probably have savings of £10,000 or less. If they own their own home, that's still fine as well.
They're not excluded merely by virtue of being a homeowner. They may be a homeowner with a little cash, as it were.
Absolutely. And probably about 20% of the applications we get are from people who used to work for the health service around here, used to work in Knapsbury Park or Shenley, perhaps as nurses or orderlies. And their pension isn't great, but they did manage to buy their house, call it in the 80s or 90s, and just trouble keeping up with repairs. And also, some cases, their pensions haven't kept up to date. Or, in some cases, more shockingly, they don't get a pension at all, even though they did work for a big employer. So we do have to ask some questions about money, but we do that very sensitively, and that's kept confidential. And then we ask what the person is after.
And you talked about white goods, a situation where somebody's cooker breaks down or whatever else, or it could be repairs, you're saying, to the house.
Occasionally, it's repairs to the house. We have a lovely handyman, Big Tony, and we have another couple of handymen that we use, and they'll come and assess a job and then come back and tell us roughly how much it's going to cost. So that's a really useful service. They can do things like painting, plastering, those sorts of jobs.
What about that area that's increasingly in need, where people are trying to live at home and they want to remain independent, but they actually need somebody coming in to help in some way, to, you know, get them through the day, whether it's home help or cleaning or even somebody being with them?
We've got about 20 clients at the moment, and we do either cleaning or shopping or both, in fact, for some people. So that service would be somewhere between an hour or 2 hours a week, and we contract Age UK to provide that service for us. So we just pay, the bills come to us, and the older person just has a visit weekly from somebody. They clean and they can go and do the shopping with a list, and they can chat and just bring a bit of joy, clean the, you know, change the bedding, all the sorts of things that a typical client like ours might find a bit of a struggle. Other sorts of things we do, because we're very much about keeping people safe in their home. The carpets, people who might need a walker or may not find themselves walking so well, or just have been in the house for a while, a worn out carpet can be a bit of a trip hazard. So we pay for carpets as well. Again, we use a lovely supplier that I've been using now for 5 years, Faz from the carpet store, which is on Hatfield Road, and he's absolutely terrific. We've had a call before about somebody having to move into, say, a council property, and unfortunately now the council doesn't really give you a great deal in your property anymore. So we will, if the grant's approved, we will carpet a new flat, for example, if someone's moved. Faz has always been very helpful and generally can get down there within 2 days to do an estimate for us. We can then hopefully get the grant approved by our trustees in a matter of days, and then the carpet goes in. Some of the odder things that we've had people apply for, somebody moved into a flat and it was hopping with fleas. Obviously, that was the day before bank holiday, and we used a super guy, and he went in the next day and fumigated. And again, in each of these cases, the bill comes to us.
Mobility, you mentioned that somebody perhaps with a tricky carpet, but there are other mobility issues as well.
There are other mobility issues, yes. So we will pay for mobility aids. So say somebody has had a trip or fall, and maybe St Albans or one of the hospitals or a physio has given them a walker. Sometimes they're very good, the walker that you get. Sometimes the one that you get might be a little more basic. So you can get 3- and 4-wheeled walkers. And occasionally we come across people who've sort of got walker envy, if I can put it that way. And they've tried a friend's, and it just works for them much better. And it might have a seat, and it might have a place for shopping. And that really is something that they need. They're probably about £200 to £300. And we will generally buy one of those, because we know that the NHS probably can't give them the exact one that they need. And people are generally very grateful for those. Other sort of things that we do, we'll pay for sight tests and glasses. And once we've paid for dentures for somebody, because the dentures being proposed by the NHS just didn't seem to work for this lady. She'd had about 5 sets. That was about £1,000. And then once we've paid for a very specialist hearing aid for somebody, because at the time the NHS didn't do them, I'm really pleased to say that the NHS has moved on since then, and they do.
In many ways, you're, as a charity, as a trust, you're either replacing or supplementing what we might think the state used to provide.
Well, that's a great question. And actually, on our leaflet, one of our questions is, have you asked either the district council, if it's appropriate, or the county council or the NHS about getting this thing? And if I take the example of the walker, the state will give you a walker, and it might be quite a basic one, and it might not have the seat in it that you need, and it might not have the shopper basket, and it might not quite have the wheel configuration. So the trust in that case is generally happy to buy something that's very appropriate for the person. We're not keen on kind of supplementing the state, I must say, which is why I mentioned earlier that if somebody's in a home for which this district council has a responsibility, and say it's a shower issue, a shower repair, we will try and talk to the council housing department here to gee them along a bit on doing the repair rather than stepping in and doing it ourselves. Occasionally, where there's been a big delay, we've actually done the repairs and then gone back to the council and claimed the money back. A key thing I should mention, when it's winter, we know that heating bills are a constant problem for older people. And I looked at some stats last year saying the pension had gone up by, call it 11% over 5 years. And heating costs, I mean, the cost of fuel and stuff had gone up by 55%. So the trust is very keen on keeping people warm in winter. And a typical grant that we would give would probably be about £300 towards bills. Generally heating bills. What we would also do is encourage people to go and talk to the CAB, because quite often, I think it's in about November, They have a switching program where if people go in there, they'll tell them.
This is the Citizens Advice Bureau.
Citizens Advice Bureau. And they'll give them ideas and they'll help them switch to a much cheaper provider. I did it for my dad down in Exeter and his bills went down to 40% of what they were because I can do that on the internet and he couldn't. And they just kept putting his bills up by about £100 a month. And that had gone on for 10 years and I didn't realise. The Citizens Advice are excellent at that type of thing.
So you mentioned Citizens Advice, you mentioned Age UK before that, agencies that you work with.
Yes.
Are there any others that you work alongside? Because there are various organisations within Hertfordshire, like the Hertfordshire Independent Living Service and so on.
Yes, absolutely. They're providers of service. We don't really provide service, we just kind of pay for it and find it for people. So Hearts Independent Living, Hills, excellent service. We use them often. So for example, we have some people that we're paying for their Meals on Wheels and they are delicious and they've often got promotion where you can have your first two meals free. That might come about as a call from someone saying, I've broken my arm and I'm going to find it difficult to cook. And we'll just say, well, should we just pay for 2 months of dinners for you? They also have pendant alarm systems there. I think it's about £4 a week or something like that. We'll pay for that for people. They've got a lovely service at the moment where they can pop in and just check on people and we could pay for that. It just depends on what people ask us to do. So we've used them. The Trust, unfortunately, will not do regular gardening for older people, but we would potentially do like a big one-off garden clear for people. And the reason that the Trust would get involved in doing maybe a big clear-out job in a garden would be that we're aware that sometimes burglars might be looking and thinking, well, that could be an older person because they've let the garden go, that type of thing.
Do you have a level of cost that you will not go beyond? I was thinking of some of the things you mentioned earlier, and it could be that somebody needs a stair lift inside their house. That's several £1,000, isn't it? I mean, it's not a...
No, we wouldn't go that far. But if people are having real mobility issues getting upstairs, and one thing I would suggest that they do is, and for any issues really, they can call Hearts Help. They know all the services that are around, but also they're a link to some of the statutory services. One of the teams that you've got a link to is the See and Solve team, which is part of social services. And I know that people will go, I'm independent. I don't want social workers involved. I don't want them putting me in a home. And, you know, there are very few homes. Everyone wants to keep you in your own home. Sure. And they haven't got the money to put you in a home. So actually, if they can help you stay in your home, they will. So if it's something quite serious, do involve them because they will not be judging you and they won't be trying to take you away.
As you say, the objective from Downing Street downwards is that people should stay in their own homes.
Absolutely.
That's what the aim is. And what you're providing is a local funding, not a local service in the sense that you provide the services, but you're providing local funding for access to a variety of different services which do exactly that.
What we do is we try and publicise other local services that other people just might not know about. So, you know, going back to Hills, for example, Hearts Independent Living Service, they do a lunch. I think it's about just under £5, two courses, and it's at the Jubilee Centre on Catherine Street. The buses go really close to it, and it's there every day. And you know, we know of people we've signposted, and they've made friends there, and they play dominoes. It's absolutely lovely. Sometimes people got an older boiler and they haven't got the money to have a new boiler and perhaps haven't got the money to have it serviced. And we've got a scheme at the moment where we'll just pay for boiler services. And we can't do that for people if they're in housing association or a council home because that's a statutory responsibility that the council has to pay for. But if people are in their own homes, we could pay for a boiler service. We've sometimes then found some issues early, which means that the boiler can keep going for quite a few years, which is excellent. And we use a brilliant company out in Harpenden called Eastern Grey. And again, I use them personally, so I can recommend them. Sorry to give some adverts, but I just think it's reassuring that people know that we're using people that we have in our homes and that they're local and they're kind of like well known. And they've been, I think these guys have been established for about 20 or 30 years. We've almost bought a package of kind of, I can't remember if it was 50 or 100 boiler services from them. And we've still got a lot that we would like to do because the worst thing that for us is Christmas Eve, we get a call going, my boiler's broken down. You know, as a trust, that's very difficult for us to find a plumber to, you know, to come out to do all the paperwork to get the other trustees involved in approving some repairs. We're just trying to look a bit down the chain to see what we can do to prevent people get in that sort of circumstance in the first place.
Because boilers die, but so do people. Do you cover funeral costs? Is that something that you run into?
We have done that a couple of times, obviously not the whole of the funeral, because as most people would know, a funeral is sort of 3,000 and upwards, but we have certainly made some contributions to funerals. We had a particular another example where, so I think someone was quoted about 6,000, we phoned around for them and I think the co-op was able to do it for less, but also we were able to say to the co-op, look, we will be paying the down payment and this lady will be able to pay the rest maybe over the next coming months, but she won't be able to pay the down payment immediately. Obviously something like that, we need quite a lot of our trustees' permissions. Can I just talk about how that works? So say somebody needs something which is going to cost under £600. So we just have a form to fill in and then we quickly ping that round by email to our trustees and we can do all of that via email. And sometimes we can get the thing or the service approved, say, within a week, which is really good. Anything over £600 has to go to our meetings, which are generally on the 12th of every other month. So something big would go towards that, you know, so maybe the funeral costs or the costs of a big boiler repair. A typical grant from us is probably about the 500 mark, because a cooker's about 500, carpeting a room's about 500. We make a lot of much smaller grants. We make quite a few very big ones. The trust aims to give away between about £150,000 and £200,000 a year. And people can get in touch about themselves or about someone that they're concerned with. We get quite a lot of requests for reclining chairs. Some people have actually identified one that they need, or maybe an occupational therapist has identified and one that they need. We can deal that with in a couple of ways. Occasionally, we will buy brand new chairs. Or occasionally we will go to Hearts Action on Disability, which is based in Welwyn, who have a notice board of secondhand chairs. And sometimes we'll actually get some secondhand chairs. They're usually in immaculate condition. A very, very top of the range rise and recliner chair would be around £4,000, which is beyond the limit of this charity. But if we can get a very good one secondhand for about £1,000 or £1,200, we might buy that for somebody. Alternatively, a more basic but very good recliner chair is about £1,000. And that, depending on the person's circumstances, would be in the kind of realms of what we would pay. But I should stress that every case is seen on its own merits. I mean, we take into account people's age and disabilities and whether they're living with someone else, their pension situation, and hard luck. Actually, hard luck comes into it. There are some people where life has just dealt them a series of blows, and through working hard all their life, unfortunately, they just haven't got the pension that they really deserve. One lady, you know, she'd worked very hard all through her life. She'd done a range of jobs. She brought up three kids single-handedly. She ran a couple of jobs at the same time. And then unfortunately, her pension, which she thought she was safe, was taken away by circumstances. Something went bust. So that's kind of a case study. But we meet delightful people as a result of this.
People do find it difficult asking for help, don't they?
Yes, it isn't easy to say you need help. And I suppose what I would say is keep us busy. That's what we're here to do. Personally, failing every year to hit the targets that we've set ourselves in terms of reaching out to people. But we are there. This charity exists to help people. I suppose I'd use the word support more, because it's very much about supporting people to stay independent, to support people to be healthy for longer, to support people to be independent and stay in their own home for longer. And I would say that, and it's particularly to so the ladies, having a walker, if that keeps you safe on our wobbly St Albans pavements, please ask for one or use a stick. Or we've referred people to an excellent podiatrist. They can advise people on insoles, on exercises and special shoes for them. So the trust is really there just to support people, and we like being busy.
I didn't know about the Old People's Trust before, so it's come as a revelation to me. I look forward to calling on you if I need it when the time comes.
Well, we try and promote. I mean, we're going to be out on the market for two separate occasions in May. The charity market stall is right up opposite the beach house, the St Peter's Church end of town, and we're always very happy to see people. We'll always have a box of Worthers on our table and encourage people to stop and tell us things. I think everybody needs a bit of support, and I think when you get older you need more support. And even if we just give people a bit of advice, that's a really good thing. It might not be us that they want. And actually, what we've occasionally done for people is they've asked us about stuff and we've told them, and we've told them about a supplier and how much it will cost, and then they've paid for it themselves. But they're just looking for a kind of recommendation. But we would like to think that we keep the people that we've helped more independent, happier. Happiness is a really important thing. If we can keep them happy because we've paid for better glasses so they can see the telly more, or we will occasionally buy a telly or a radio or all sorts, we keep them warm and happy and safe, then that's a great thing.
If you'd like to find out more about the Old People's Trust, that's the St Albans Old People's Trust, of course, which covers the whole district, ring this number, 07541 659 442. 07541 659 442. Now, that's a mobile number, but you won't be held on there. They'll ring you straight back on your own line. Another organisation that Kate mentioned, and it's one that we've mentioned before, and that is Hearts Help, which is 0300 123 4044. 0300 123 4044.